All right, guys, here it is, the 2024 AMX Superstores Pro MX Preview Show. We're going old school tonight. Darnell Official is in the building. We will get to that in a minute. But first of all, we have to welcome back AMX Superstores. Once again, they are supporting our Pro MX race coverage on the Inside Dirt Network for 2024. And we have a long-standing relationship with those guys. And we are stoked to welcome them back. And you guys know the sponsor read by now, but I'm going to do it anyway. AMX Superstores is the nation's leading motorcycle retail specialist. They have over 30 stores now nationwide. They have over 30,000 items available, and they have leading brands: Shoei, HJC, Fly, City, Denise, Alpine Styles for Darnell, Fox, and so much more. Literally, they can keep your bike and body on track. Consumables, parts, accessories, riding gear, you name it, AMX Superstores. Drop in and see your local team. There's stores in every state. They are all over the East Coast. They are in SA. They're on the West Coast. Over in WA, there is an AMX Superstores for pretty much every demographic in every region. And with that being said, if you are at a Primex this year, which I know most of you will be that are listening, make sure you go see the AMX Superstores tent and team that are at your local Pro MX, because that will be the local AMX Superstores team from the shop in your region. You can chat to those guys, get to know them, talk dirt bikes, talk road, talk adventure, whatever you need, and they will hook you up. So once again, massive shout out to the team at AMX Superstores. We thank them for supporting the Pro MX coverage on the Inside Dirt Network. And if you can't get into a store for whatever reason, amxsuperstores.com.au will have you covered with same week and sometimes next day delivery. So with that being said, let's get to the 2024 AMX Superstores Pro MX Preview Show.
Okay, kids, you're in for a real treat today.
He's Jimmy's brother, the guy, the singer.
Gator never been about that. Never been about playing no shit.
It'd be like looking over and seeing your ex-missus with someone else. Like, it's a...
There's a few of them going around the pits, I'm sure that's happened before.
Do you know what I've been smashing lately?
Can we say it on the show?
Why weren't you more successful?
Well, you know, because I sucked, so...
All right, guys, welcome to the 2024 AMX Superstores Pro MX Preview Show. Stoked to be back, stoked to have AMX Superstores on board, and we're going old school tonight. We'll run the story about how we're all together. Darnell, I'm in Melbourne. Darnell's in our apartment in Lonsdale Street in the city. There's a lot going on. We'll get to that. But Darnell, 5 years ago, we started Inside Dirt, the podcast, and it's like a reunion tour.
Yeah,
it's like
man.
Blink 182 of moto podcasts.
I can't believe we made it this far. I mean, we had a short hiatus, but we've somehow managed to outlast most with not a lot of skill, a lot of passion, but that's about it. It's actually wild to think that it's been 5 years since we started this thing way back when with Banger in studio in Melbourne, of all things. We're back home. So
yeah, man. Yeah, 2019, we started the Inside Dirt podcast. It's been a journey. You've been involved from day one at different levels.
You somehow keep reeling me back in. I don't want to be here.
I try to get out.
Sucked in.
Yeah, I sucked you in with free accommodation.
Yeah, I'm like, stay in the city tonight, free meal. I'm in. So, and here we are. Let's do this show.
That's right.
Hey, before we get going, Rendog, shout out to Renita Vermeulen. She's in the house. Can you get me another can? We're getting loose on this one.
So to give everyone some perspective,
thank you.
This is
Thank
ID you. Media Group on tour right now. We flew in yesterday. Kawasaki 450 launch today. So the team at ID Media Group, we're in the room right now. So Renita's here, our brand manager. We've got Adam behind us, our photographer, who absolutely kills it and has been editing furiously and is still going now from today. And then somehow Darnell is... He was handing me product across a railway crossing this morning in the west side of Melbourne. Then we got out to City MX. So many things going on.
Yeah, man. It's definitely round one. There's nothing else like it. It's just, its own beast, and I'm really excited for round one and gates to drop, but I'm also really excited for round one to be over.
It is a bit like that. Honestly, it has been, I would say, and I've talked to you off air about this, like this week for us has literally been the biggest week of ID Media Group and consequently Inside Dirt. So much to do. Same for you guys with Alps and every other brand in the industry, not you guys specifically, but team.
No, it's just us. We're the only ones doing anything.
Just you guys. But it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of build up. And I've said this for years. It's headless chickens, and then MX2 practice goes off at 7:45, and everyone goes, we're back for another season.
You'd think when the racing starts, that's when it's most stressful, but it's actually the opposite. It's like, well, the bikes are on track. There's nothing I can do now.
It really is. I mean, even for me, like, I'm back commentating this year, and as soon as the bikes go on track, you're like, just business as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to be business as usual this year. I mean, there's a few changes behind the scenes for a lot of different things. A lot of team changes, rider changes, personnel changes. So it's going to be a big year. There's a lot of people changing bikes. There's people changing classes.
It's been one of the busier off seasons, especially with Supercross running so late.
Yeah, that was the thing too. Like, there were deals done and everyone knew, but no one was saying. So all this news broke.
It's like a lot of worst kept secrets in the industry.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to see. We're here now. It feels like we only finished up at Marvel Stadium for Supercross. It felt like two weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago, man.
It was what, end of November?
Yeah. So it's been what, 3 months, 4 months, maybe?
It's 3 months because I moved to the sunny coast. I flew.
I feel like every time we do a show, you're like, I've moved again. Melbourne, sunny coast, Gold Coast. Where will we go next?
Who knows? That's the fun.
Go back to England.
Yeah. No. I feel like I'm in England. It's so cold in Melbourne right now.
It's hot down here, dude.
Nah, about that. Anyway. I feel that where were we? I lost my train of thought.
Starting off the year well.
Yeah.
No, I think this year it'll just be interesting with so many, like with the time frame being so short. It's short, but it's still a big gap. Like, there's a lot of guys who have had a lot of time to test new bikes, new products, new everything. There's a few guys, like two teams in particular, like 450 guys that are on. One, they've switched brands, but that's also a brand new bike for this year with like the Gas Gas and the Cowie teams. Like, that's a brand new KX 450. That is a brand new Gas Gas MC 450 and 250. That's a new model as well. So there's those changes.
Yeah, a lot of variables and short lead time, short development time. Super. I mean, for the majority of factory teams in Australia now, we're actually, I don't know if it's going to stay this way, but we pretty much saw different lineups for motocross and supercross for most of them. So I feel like the guys that didn't ride Supercross, which was a lot of them that are riding Primax, they had a head start on training for outdoors because they didn't do Supercross, but then the development, testing, and bike time for the new bikes is probably less than usual.
Yeah, and the way the world is now and all the, like, there's been major shipping dramas at the moment for everyone, whether that's manufacturers or brands or whatever it is, like, things are just taking time. And especially with those new bikes coming out, like, the bikes may come out, you know, let's say in the middle of the year, but those products still need to be developed, tested, and then shipped, and then arrive here.
Well, it just has a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
Like, the later the bikes get released, the later the aftermarket companies get the bikes to test their products, the later the build, the later the release of everything. And you know, riding a 24 Cowie today, this isn't the review podcast for that. We won't talk about it all the time, but that is an entirely new dirt bike. Like, it is very different. So you go for the Empire team as an example, well, there's a very big off season.
Yeah, it's a massive off season. They've got an all new lineup in MX1 and MX2. Also a new brand switch. We're going to get that one in early but with, you know, Cloudy going there, that's a brand new bike to him. Reed Taylor going there for the 250. That's still the existing model from last year, but that's a new bike to Reed. Luckily for Reed, he's been over in India riding Supercross. I don't know how much Indian Supercross is going to help with Pro MX, but it's seat time.
Dude, watching him ride today, I think it's going to translate pretty well.
Yeah, he's going to be, he's one to watch this year. I'm not going to get right into predictions.
Yeah, we'll go to MX2 in a minute. Or, you know, we'll start with MX1. So I've got the entry list right here. We're just going to run through the names.
Somewhat prepared for once, Joe.
I know, right? It's impressive.
I don't like it.
You've sold out, man. Excuse me. Right. You good, Ren? Right. Obviously, first rider on the list, CDI Yamaha Monster Energy, the number one defending champ, Dean Ferris.
He's back home. That's the big thing.
Back home. And, man, we were at the Sunny States a few weeks ago, and he looked really good. Webster in the sand took it to him, but the motos were short. Ferris's bike setup was a little off, but he was right there at the end of every moto with Webster. For this round, I don't think Dean wins. He's, in memory, never really crushed it at Wonthaggi.
No, he's not. He's far from what I'd call a Wonthaggi specialist. I mean, on the Honda in 22, it was bad. Like, bad?
Really bad.
Really bad.
That bike was not gelling with him.
Granted, but it wasn't good. Last year, still wasn't good. Was better.
Well, we didn't actually get to see him, though, remember?
Yeah.
Because of unfortunate incident that stopped racing. But the reality of it is this. You've got several...
Sorry, I was thinking Appen. Not...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, he killed it at Appen. He just crashed at the second moto, remember? Because the track prep was quite the thing.
Don't get me started.
And how hot was Appen? Anyway, let's hope it's not like that this year for any of the rounds. But... For Ferris, the reality of the landscape for Wonthaggi, you've got several of his competition for the championship, Jed Beaton, Kyle Webster, to name two, that train there at least twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Jed's like there. We know what Kyle's like there. Kyle's a WA guy that then moved to Wonthaggi, you know, based out of there. He knows that place. Jed was based out of Wonthaggi, still lives around there, rides there all the time. Ross has based his whole program out of there, so it's very much built out there. And obviously,
if you want to talk about a home track advantage, like Jed used to live in the house that is on the track.
So it's just those two are very strong there. It's going to be interesting to see how Dean goes. He is, the target's on his back, as it was on Aaron's last year. As soon as you put a number one on your bike, you are the target. No matter if you've got the home track advantage, if you are flying, if you're on the same bike and the same program that you're on, or if you're on a brand new bike, brand new program, like Dean is, the target's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
That number one plate carries so much weight into it.
You think a guy like Dean feels that? I don't.
I don't know. I don't think so. But regardless, new series, new team, let's see what happens. Is he top five? Yes. You'd lock him for that. You'd lock him for probably even a podium. But is Dean going to come out and straight up beat everyone? Not at Wonthaggi. I don't think so.
No, I think he's too experienced. He's too smart. I think he'll take it if it's there. Obviously, we got Wonthaggi to talk about and the season as a whole. Now, he's done four. Does he do five championships, that is?
I mean, you're only as good as your last result, and he's the guy.
I think he is still in with a really good shot of winning the championship this year.
I think he's probably in with the best chance of winning this championship. He's a four-time champion going for five. He's back at the team that he won three championships with on the same bike that he just won the last championship on. Yeah, it's a different team, but it's the same.
It's the same environment, different personnel, but I know there's a lot more flexibility with him. He's been able to run some componentry that he wants. I think they've accommodated probably what his gripes may have been in going there as far as, I mean, let's be real, doesn't look great for Yamaha when a privateer beats the factory team. That's just the reality of it. At Yamaha, they don't...
And this is the thing. It was a privateer team. Was it a privateer bike? I still have my reservations on the status of that bike and that program.
Look, it was a hybrid program. But the reality is the premier team is CDIMR Monster Energy. He has to be on that team. He's the defending champion. Now, he's got all the resources he didn't have with his previous deal, plus all the knowledge he gained setting up bikes and doing it the way he wanted with his own team. So I think it's literally a win-win situation. He's got the resources of everything of the premier team in the sport, and he's got all the momentum of the same bike and the same development he put a year and a bit on previously.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And you look at, we'll move on from Dean now, and I think the best place to go from here is his teammate, Jed Beaton. You have 1 and 2 in the championship as teammates.
And that's a classic Dakar move.
If you can't beat them, buy them.
It's going to pay off. Chances are one of those two will likely win the championship.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, I think from all accounts, obviously I'm still living with Jed's mechanic, Jesse, who also transitioned across to CDR with Jed. He doesn't give me a lot. Jesse is he's a closed book. He doesn't give anything away.
Mm.
But by all accounts, Jed's happy.
Yeah.
And
so does he not come home and be like, Jed is flying at the track or?
No, he mainly comes home and goes, why is the lawn still overgrown? So,
is he a homebody?
He just doesn't like me, I don't think. It's understandable.
I get that.
Yeah, it's just with Jed being comfortable on a bike, and Jed very much like Dean when he went from Honda and now he's on the Yamaha. Are we going to see the same thing? Because I don't think Jed was completely happy on that Honda last year, to say the least.
It would be an understatement. I think the reality of it is this. You either gel with that Honda or you don't.
And that's with any manufacturer.
It's with any manufacturer, but for some reason it is somewhat amplified with the Honda in Australia. I think it has to do with the tracks and the terrain. But then you look at Webster or you look at Wilson Todd, they go incredibly well on the 50 Honda. So it is purely a rider preference. But unfortunately for the Honda team of late, the two guys that have signed the last 2 years have moved on. But Wilson moving up, and we could probably segue into the Boost Mobile HRC Honda team now, because that's a good way to get into it. Wilson Todd, we'll talk about Wilson. Wilson. Man, he looked really good at Harvey Bay, but as I said in the review pod for Harvey Bay, it's the same bike, it's the same team, it's the same everything that he cleaned house on when he stepped up in 2022.
Yeah,
for
cool.
The final two rounds. Or was it the final round?
Yeah, it was the final round. Oh, well, he did the first moto at QMP.
That's right, he rode the 450 in the second moto. Did he win that moto? Or what did he get?
No, I think he got fourth in that moto, and then maybe he did win that moto. I can't remember.
Hey, anyway, can't he remember. Went 1-1 at Coolum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he got the overall at Coolum.
Did he win both motos? I don't remember. We should probably know this. Anyway.
Like 2022. Who knows that?
It was a long time ago. Ren, you were with Honda back then. Did Wilson Todd win both motos at Coolum back in 22?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I definitely remember going to the podium.
And thank you for that. Great insight.
No, because that was my job back then. Team coordinator, I like run to the podium, waters and stuff. I remember. Yeah, no, I do remember going for Wilson. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Ren.
Ren Dog, welcome to Inside Dirt, it's a loose program.
Did Wilson win?
Hello, everybody. It's been a while, but yes, I'm so excited about this year. The boys are obviously talking about who they think is going to win and all the insides and outs. I will voice my opinion once I get to the track, so stay tuned for that.
Ren's hot tips.
Yeah, Ren's hot tips. I think the guy that stands on the top of the podium will be the winner at the end of the weekend. Well, Ren, you can weigh in on this, actually. I'm going to hand my mic over to you for a bit, because you've spent, like Joe said, you know, previously at the HRC team, and you've spent a lot of time with Wilson Todd and Kyle Webster. Now, Kyle, you know, can ride a 450, and we know Wilson can. He has done it. But what... You'd probably know them more and their personalities and everything like that and how they're going to train. So how do you think those two, from your memory of those guys, how do they approach round one as we come into it this week?
Yeah, so they're very, very different. Kyle is very smart, meticulous. You know, he likes his routine. If you watch him before he jumps on the bike, he does the same sort of like, I'm obviously a road girl, so it's very Valentino Rossi-esque, where he does the same exact thing before he jumps on. And if you like go to interrupt it, he has to do the whole thing again, right? Where Wilson Todd, he is so relaxed. He is as cool as a cucumber. when I was at Honda, it was quite funny because I remember the mechanics were like, oh, you know, Wilbur, that's what they used to call him, Wilbur, what's your training been this week? And he's like, PlayStation. So he is like completely different. Look, that was a few years ago. So I think going into this year, he's obviously going to have been on the bike and whatnot, but I don't necessarily think he's going to have been so straight up and down as Kyle. But it's going to be interesting to see. I didn't know Wilson was on the track today here in Melbourne. He obviously wasn't where we were, but he was riding somewhere else. One of the other tracks I saw on socials.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that is a thing because Wilson's based up in Cairns again, right? He hasn't been down anywhere training.
No, he's on Sunny Coast now.
Oh, is he back on the coast?
Yeah, he lives at Caloundra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's training with Ford Dale.
He's back with Ford, right?
Yeah.
Because I had my concerns. I didn't know if he was coming back. And if he wasn't, being based in Cairns, I was like, man, I don't see that working as far as fitness and intensity. But now he lives where we do, so.
Yeah, so he's obviously training with Ford. So maybe my little judgment before about his previous training schedule was probably very, very different because Ford's quite.
So is Luke Clout still with Ford? He is? Okay. You can.
Thanks, Brendan.
Our field reporter here.
Yeah.
Renita Vermeulen. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So Wilson is back with the Ford Dale Elite Crew. It is a contrast. You've got Webster, who you talk to the Honda guys, and I was chatting to them at the Sunny Coast. They're like, man, he's not fussy. Like he runs what he runs. He doesn't really change his setup. He rides the bike to the conditions.
He adapts to the bike. He doesn't make the bike change for
him. And I talked about this on the pod we talked about for the Sunny States. You know, Ferris's bike, long wheelbase, in the sand, big bike. And then Webster's short wheelbase, very short bike, very easy to turn, cutting under all the acceleration holes and those sand rollers. So I think Wilson Todd is very tall. Kyle Webster's very short. It's a contrast. But Wilson Todd is super fast at Wonthaggi as well. And his starts were electric at Sunny States, and his starts are always solid pretty much everywhere. So I think one thing for certain, between Webster and Todd, you're going to see a lot of Boost Mobile Hondas in the first lap at Wonthaggi.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously Wilson is a, let's call him a rookie in this MX1 class. Obviously he's raced it previously, but
a championship rookie for the whole season.
And alongside that, and I know there's a lot of people out here are going to get a laugh out of this one, but we'll segue into the next rookie, Nathan Crawford.
No, he's not a rookie.
Well, sorry. He's not a rookie. He did do the year with...
2016?
16,
he was on that Honda team, cranked protein Honda.
He also did that year with Cowie. Remember that MP?
No, 2017 he was on Honda. 2016 he...
That Cowie team.
No, 17 he was on Factory Cowie back then, which was Troy Carroll's team. Mm-hmm. 16 he was on... No.
I think you're getting confused. It was definitely on the Cowie 450. Anyway, not a 450 championship rookie, but let's be honest.
No, that was Todd Waters and Luke Clout. My bad. Yeah, sorry. You're right.
So, back to my point. It has been so long since Nathan has done a championship on a 450.
He's a different rider now, man. That was nearly 10 years ago.
I get that, right? And that's what I'm going to say. Nathan's always been, when the pressure's on,
it hasn't worked out.
It hasn't worked out. But I think now, you know, because of that pressure of being the 250 guy, you know, it was Wilson Todd and Nathan Crawford.
Yeah.
They were your two.
Well, it was always, or it was Jed Beaton and Nathan Crawford, or it was someone else and Nathan Crawford.
It's always been him and another guy. They're your contenders. That's it. That's the season. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
But we saw it in 22 when he got hurt and missed the first half of the year, come back and just dominated the second half of the season because there was no pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
When Wilson's Todd lead in the championship got out a fair bit last year, the pressure eased a little bit. Nathan excelled. Now, I think
that's... You know Nathan personally very well. He was your guy for a couple of years with Alps. So, obviously, this is not just an insight from his history. Like, you know, to a degree, do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm sort of getting to is the fact that because Nathan's not the guy anymore, yeah, he's the guy at KDM.
But he's not... He's one of many guys.
One of, you know, a stacked field now. Not saying the 250 class wasn't stacked back then, but really, those top two guys, and we've seen it round after round, race after race.
Well, it was pretty much those two, then everyone else.
But now he's just a part of the pack. That pressure's not there. So I wonder if Nathan's going to take that next step now that the pressure's not on him, like it would be.
I think we definitely see him win races. I think he's going to get an overall, maybe two. Does he win the championship? I don't think so. But is he going to be a contender? Yes.
And obviously Nathan raced the AMX Open at Wontagi,
yeah,
on the 450.
The only preseason race he chose to do.
Yeah. No Harvey Bay, no nothing. No, just
straight into
just
it.
Just Wonnie, that's it.
Yeah.
Obviously they did the four motos. I think Webby got two wins. Wilson got a win and Nathan got a win. Nathan got the overall. That'll give him a lot of confidence. That'll also give them a lot of idea of what direction to take the bike for Wontagi.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see, you know, I think we'll see a more collected Nathan Crawford this year.
Yeah, I think long-term vision, no championship pressure. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes.
And to sidestep from there, obviously Nathan's gone to the 450 now and Kurt Gibbs has moved from the KTM 450 to the Gas 450.
And he looks really good, man.
Ripping.
Really good. I talked about it in the previous podcast we did. I could not believe how fast he was going at Harvey Bay. The bike looked great. He looked fit. He looked happy. He was laughing. He was joking. Like, you know what Gibbsy's like. He's quite serious, but then also a real character away from, you know, race face. He's happy, man. I think he's really comfortable where he is.
Yeah, I think that Gas team is just, you know, KTM's your serious, ready to race. They're the business. That's it.
Well, as far as KTM group, that yeah. is the team that's meant to win.
That's the
premier team. Yeah.
Gas is that.
It's the red-headed stepchild, fun team.
We're here to have fun, but we're going to do it properly.
Mm.
You know,
the team launch post he did was so sick with the truck and the stuff. It
at Chucky's house. Post? Yeah, yeah. I was out there for that one. That was a lot of fun. And that's, you know, with the personality that Gibbsy's got, I think that suits him. You know, he's going to be comfortable there where you can have a joke in the truck, you can have a laugh, and you can be himself, which could go a long way coming into round one. Now, we know Gibbsy's just a veteran at this point, proven time and time again, third in the championship last year out of pure consistency.
You know? Yeah, he'll take a fifth at Wontagi. He'll take a sixth. But he could do a lot more than that. If he gets a start, you know, again, I would say he didn't have the intensity last year to run, but there was motos like at Maitland, there was flashes. And then what I saw at Harvey Bay, he does have the intensity.
Yeah, I think Gibbsy's that one. I mean, really, we look at this top 6, 7 in this 450 class. They can all win motos. They can all win overalls, you know. Gibbsy's definitely a factor in that. I think it's a new bike for him, and it's a new model that hasn't been out before, but really, we all know that it sort of has because it's a KTM.
It crosses over.
Like, there's some...
Between WP and the componentry, it is a translation, so I...
He said he's really liking the bike too.
I would not be surprised if he... Look, again, is Gibbsy going to win the championship?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'd hope so. It's nine years
since he won his last one, but... He's healthy. He's not injured. He's going fast. He's happy. Who knows?
And he's got a baby coming. He does have a baby coming. Thank you, Rendog.
Rendog coming in with the pit reporter. Gossip.
You know, he's just...
There's nothing more of an incentive to win and make money when there's a baby coming.
Yeah. The crew brings bonuses.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Gibbsy is that guy, and you can never count him out. You know, consistent. Is he going to, you know, Gibbsy, it sounds weird. Gibbsy could be the guy this year. Could he win races? Definitely. But Gibbsy could also be, out of anyone I can see, he is the one that goes, I'll take a fifth, go 5-2 for first overall because all the results are sideways, you know, because he will be the guy that's so consistent in every moto, you know.
He's just had like one little crash every year the last few years where he's done a thumb or whatever. Hopefully he can avoid that this year. Because, man, looking at this entry list, it's kind of like every year, oh, it's so stacked. It's the deepest field ever. It's really pretty impressive, the field here. Now, if we look at I'm just going to go through the entry list real quick. So Levi Rogers behind Wilson Todd. So Wilson Todd's actually Terra Firma, Froth HRC, and Webster's Boost Mobile HRC. So they're doing that split bike thing again. Rogers doing the beta. So the 450 RX beta will be out on track for the first time at Primex.
That's cool.
It's going to be really cool.
I'm really excited for that.
And Rogers, man, especially in the sand.
He's good.
He's good. You know, he was good at Harvey Bay. And if he can get a start and get some settings on that bike, I think Rogers could be a top 10 guy.
Yeah. Obviously, they're going to be like anything, you know, same as the Cowie, same as the Gas, same as all these new models. There's going to be teething issues. For the beta, more so, like, they're going into an environment that, yes, well, they've got GP experience and Supercross experience, but Beta Australia don't have.
Well, dude, the American guys are reaching out to Beta Australia saying, what are you running? You know, there's not a lot of data out there at all.
No.
And I think
I think that's a cool space for a rider like Levi to be in.
Yeah, it really is.
To like, be in that ground floor of something like that. Like, obviously, they're clearly invested in going racing, and to be a part of that program, it's going to help him a lot.
Well, it's moved him from being a shop-based privateer. Like, Clowns Motorcycle Center, those guys do a great job supporting him, but it's elevated their whole program from...
It elevates him. It elevates the shop. What is it? Calandra Motorcycle
Center.
It's going to elevate them. It brings them to the forefront of the series. You're like, oh, there's the beater out on the track. It's going to bring attention to them.
It's a big draw card, man. Levi plays this right with his results and watching him, he's come a long way, man. And you know, super pole speed has never been a thing. You know, the AMX Superstore's top 10 pole shootout. He's made it into multiple of those in MX1. The kid's got speed. Next guy up, definitely not a kid, is Brett Metcalf. Medi is back. He's doing his Go 24 team again.
On Cowies.
On the new Cowie. Now, we saw him at the Sunny States. He had been driving all over Australia testing. Ended up at Harvey Bay and had a crash in the first moto. But he's going racing again.
Here's the thing with Medi, right? He could be 10th. He could be first. He could be 25th. The crowd is going to love Brett Metcalf. It's Brett Metcalf. I think it's really cool that look, let's be honest, it's probably going to be Medi's last season.
I think he's been pretty vocal that this is probably
it. He turns 40 this year. If not, he might have already.
No, I think he's not 40 yet.
Look it up on your little computer there.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. It's getting close to it.
Yeah.
Those grey hairs are getting greyer, right?
The beard and the hair. He's just such a legend.
But
Brett Metcalf fan.
I think it's cool that he's on a Cowie for what will probably be his last year.
It just looks right. 24.
Pinnacle Brett Metcalf to me.
24 and 24. There you go.
24 and 24.
Yeah.
Brett Metcalf on a Cowie. It's like the Pro Circuit days. I said this to you. He should have done Pro Circuit style graphics because that would have been really cool.
It would have been cool.
Retro Round, SKDA, his graphic sponsor.
Make it happen.
I've said what I need to say. Make the people happy, right?
Give the people what they want. Yeah.
Unless you want to put him on a Yamaha for that round, put him on a YOT bike.
Yeah,
with
Yamaha
1-2-3 on it.
1-2-5.
Like if MA, can we let Medi run 1-2-3 for just retro round?
That'd be cool.
Be really cool.
Yeah.
No, it's cool to see Medi go around again. His whole program's cool. He's got a lot of junior support riders that he helps out through his program.
Yeah, he's growing just, that platform.
He's just, outside of his racing and his results and everything like that, he is just good for the sport. So
he really is. Right, next up, there's a whole list of riders that are going to rip, but the 47, Toddy Waters, he is your two, what year did Toddy win the championship?
19,
that's right.
DPH.
Husky. DPH Husky, and he's back.
The only team to ever win both titles in 1 year, DPH Husky with Wilson Todd and
Todd Waters. 2019, and they are no more. That's crazy.
No more after that season.
They
too.
Were.
That was just...
Yeah.
I mean, MX Nationals was also no more after that season.
All the world stopped, basically. Yeah. COVID came in after that. But it's just Raceline Husky this year. I swear it's Raceline T-Dub, Barry Sweet still, but it's what's on the entry list. Look, Todd... He's back from the injury he sustained at QMP. He's been riding himself back to fitness. He was doing 252 stroke and 450 motos at Harvey Bay. Did six motos in the humidity and the sand. He was fit. He was consistent. He wasn't intense with his speed. I think that is still going to be Todd's Achilles heel, is that he lacks that intensity now. And maybe I'll be proved wrong. Hopefully now he's healthy and training again, that spark might come back. But I think realistically, he's a podium guy on his best day.
Yeah, I mean, Toddy, we know, can ride in the sand.
Is Wonnie sand? That's the other thing.
That is the hard thing. Everyone, we go back and forth with this. Wonthaggi, is it sand? Is it not? Maybe not, but it is. It's Wonthaggi. It's just its own beast. Toddy's had results there in the past. He's had good ones. He's had bad ones. But it's just, we'll see what happens here with 47. Just a side note on his team, their launch for the team, the night, the video, the share, and I hate to do this, right?
The group and, chat is going to be.
And I know he'll be listening, right? And whenever I get a chance, I will take a shot at you or anyone I can.
But
post-moto is target number one for me. Mickey Williams, I know you're listening. You always do. He'll be disappointed he didn't get the call off of the show.
Yeah.
But Mickey,
he's too busy for us.
He is really involved with that race line team. He was one who coordinated the launch night, does the videos, ran the event, got Rendog in to MC the night.
Yeah.
That was really cool, man. That team, Todd, and the people he's got around him, like Mick and Jace, and you know, the rider lineup that they've got, they're trying to take it to a new level and elevate the sport for the better. And nights like that, it's unique.
It was unique. And the content and the press and the exposure that came out of that. Look, we were there. Renita hosted it. You can talk about it, Ren, quickly.
Hi, guys. So, long time no chat. The cool thing was when Mick messaged me, he goes, you know, you're a road girl. This is what they do in like MotoGP and Superbikes and like the road bikes, right? And I'm like, yeah, you know, this is these big launches that they do. He's like, we want to do something different. And as soon as he told me the idea, and I was like, how cool, get everyone in a place together. Like, you know, we can go and watch the boys ride the bikes at the track, right? That's fun. And we like doing that. But also an event like this was cool to have the riders up on stage, talk to them, talk about this year. Everyone have a chat. Food was great. Drinks were flowing. Good times.
It was. It was a great event. And it set the tone, you know, the team, the setup, the launch video. It's legit. Toddy, if he's not going to win on the track, they're definitely winning in the marketing and the PR and the sponsorship front. It's really cool to see. So we're going to finish up MX1 now. But
thanks, Rendog.
Thanks, Rendog.
She'll be back later.
We've got so many, you know, privateers that we haven't even mentioned, you know, Navarin and Grothius.
Have we got factory riders we haven't mentioned?
No, that's everybody.
Well, one we sort of skimmed over at the start.
Who's that?
Empire Cowie's Luke Clout.
Oh, we haven't talked about Clout. Yeah.
Remember the launch you were at today?
Talk about him. Yeah. My bad.
And that is a big one. And I think outside of Dean and Jed, even more so, Jed going to CDR and Dean going to CDR, everyone's like, yeah, makes sense. Luke going from CDR, the pinnacle team in the industry, to then go across Empire Cowie, which that team is super, super, super solid. And I think they're taking a big step this year with a rider like Luke coming on board. They've also got Brad McAlpine behind the scenes. And I think that is so, so important to have someone like Brad there, as well as having Luke and then a big 250 rider like Reed as well. That team is taking a massive step in the right direction. Obviously, we're out there with them today. Obviously, you know, I hold a little bit of bias with my involvement with the team now. But Tyson, Brad, you know, that whole team out there, they're taking a big step in the right direction, and having a marquee rider like Luke who can win on a new bike is massive at the moment. And I think out of everything, that is the biggest change for this off-season, was Luke going to the Cowie.
Agreed. And I think if you take a look at Luke's injuries and his run with CDR over the last few years, it's kind of like Chase Sexton with Honda. Like, it's just when it's time to move on. Is it a sideways move? Could he have had the same success he's going to have this year at CDR? Probably. He was healthy, would have regrouped. He needed a fresh start. He needed clean air. he's, I think what is so good for someone like Luke Clout is the way Dakar structures CDR, there's normally two guys that can win the championship.
But there's one guy that's the guy.
The guy.
There's always an A and B rider.
But now it's Empire Kawasaki. He is the guy. The team, Brad, Taka with Showa in Japan, they built that program completely around Luke's needs, wants. And you see him today, man. Very happy, very light on the bike. He looks like the Luke Clout that we are used to seeing. Now, does he go out and win at Wonthaggi? I don't think so. That's not Luke's track. That's not his strong point.
That's where I disagree. Luke won the championship in 2021 in the reduced COVID-ridden season. Correct? Joe, he's listening? Yep. Yeah, 2021, Luke wins the championship. We go to Wonthaggi. Luke wins the overall at Wonthaggi in 2022. He then has a big crash at Mackay for round two in 2022 and goes down. And he is out for a majority of that year. And like I said earlier, you're as good as your last result. Well, Luke's last result was a win at Oz Supercross at the final round.
Yeah, it was a fairy tale endings for his time with CDR. And I think that realistically, you know, again, do I think he goes out at round one and dominates? No, but I think that for Cloudy, he needs a podium. I think he's going to get the overall podium on the weekend. He'll land on the top three. They're going to get Dada on the bike. He's going to grow into where that program is going to go this year. I think he needs to stay healthy. He needs to stay consistent. But man, could Luke Clout win this championship? Yes. Yes, I think he could. Is he going to set the world on fire this weekend? It's hard to say.
I wonder with Cloudy and coming into this round, like you said, can he win the championship? Yes. Can he win this weekend? Yes.
Is he going to? Potentially.
I honestly think this year we see, like, Luke's happy. We saw that today. Luke is happy. He's enjoying where he is. He's enjoying the team. The bike's where, as far as I know, the bike is where he wants it. They've done a lot of testing. But there's no, you know, you can do all the testing in the world. You get to round one, you know, it's a different story.
Well, and you're going to go from, you know, off-season races. He raced at Cottondale the other day. He beat Dean Ferris in a moto. Ferris beat him in the other moto. But I know with Ford's program and where Luke's been riding up on the sunny coast, it's hard to replicate that Wonthaggi hard base square edge. But I think riding the Cowie today myself, I think that bike's going to work really well in the choppy stuff. He's got a softer feeling chassis. Obviously, their bike's going to be far more rigid than the production model we rode, but it's still the same bike.
Yeah, and I think from what we saw today, Luke's comfortable on the bike, to say the least. So
he looked like 2000 whatever Luke 21 when Luke. He was riding in Firepower Honda in America in Supercross
2020.
Was it 20? I forget, but. Anyway, there's just a Luke Clout you see and you know he's feeling it, and that's what we saw today.
100%. So we'll see what happens. And I think the thing with Luke is he's comfortable right now and he's happy. And he could go round one, yeah, he could win. But I think he also looks at the long game here and he goes, and I think we might see the Luke that'll go, I don't need to win this race. I can settle.
And that's the biggest thing where the injuries have really hindered him. And I don't think
Luke is so fast and he can always go out anytime he's on the track. He can win.
Mm.
But it's finding that limit that he does and just going, right, if second's what I can get today, I take the second.
Take the points.
Take the points. Healthy. And move on. And I think that's the Luke we're going to get. I also think there's still going to be those days where we get the Luke Clout that goes, I'm going to win today and no one's
going to touch me. Yeah, same as in Super Bowl. And all right. Privateers, we'll just run through Zach Watson, Levi McManus, Braden Krebs, Cooper Holroyd, Navin Grothius, Joel Phillips, Sigliano, Latimer, Bryce O'Guinness, John Darrow back from WA, Cody Olone out of Queensland, Robbie Marshall out of Queensland. Jeez, Marshall's just doing it for the vets. That's impressive. Is Creechy racing? Creech.
I was literally, I just seen his name on the list.
No way.
If Creechy's here, I'm stoked.
Creechy's
the 57.
Legend. Yeah, what a legend. Dylan Wood, Lockie Latimer, Joel Evans, Seager Wood. Like, there's a lot of talented privateers. The list goes on. We can't get to everybody, but anyway. Right.
Have we missed any heavy hitters? I think we've covered them.
No, we covered everybody. Right, Pirelli MX2. If we've missed them, just message us and say we're out to lunch. That was the saying from back in the day.
We're back.
Pirelli MX2. Now, we just spent 45 minutes talking about MX1, so I don't want to spend another 40 minutes talking about MX2, but there's a lot of stories with MX2. Let's start with the number five, HRC Honda, new signing for 24, Alex Lowood.
Yeah. Alex has showed speed everywhere. I think Alex isn't very much in that space. You know, the run of injuries, injury after injury after injury. New team, new bike, fresh start. I think, what did you say at Harvey Bay? Is third in a moto, third overall for the round? Or
no, he got the overall. He won the overall.
He won the overall,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I think he won a moto. Like yeah. Everyone won a moto. It was just chaos. But he was very fast, very consistent.
Yeah, and I think...
And he's coming back from years of injury.
And Alex has spent time, a bit of time at Wonthaggi, one of those guys.
Yeah, he's spent a lot of time at Wonthaggi, yeah. He was pretty much the only guy in last year that could hang with Wilson Todd in that opening moto before the day got cancelled. Do you remember? He was the only guy hanging there.
Well, Nathan hung with him and may have punted into him and Wilson may have put a privateer off the track. Remember the clean out?
Do you remember? So who won that first moto?
Wilson.
He got up and win it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, Nato got second and docked.
Yes.
Or DQ'd and Dobson third.
That's right. Wow, what a turn up. Anyway.
So, and you look at that. So the people who finished 1, 2, and 3 in the first moto...
Are not there. This is the first year in a long time.
It's Wilson, changing in the guard.
Wilson the guard. Has won, 700 MX2 championships? Like, it's time... It's the new era is rolling through MX2. Larwood is not a veteran. If he hadn't been injured, this would be season 3 or 4 for him. But he is on the more experienced side. Now, you compare Larwood to someone like Byron Dennis, your MX3 champ stepping up. Man, Dennis has grown about 6 foot in the last 6 months since I last saw him at Coolum. He went from being a teenager to like a man. And he looks really good on that gas.
Yeah. Obviously, Byron's come across the Alps now, so I speak to Byron a fair bit. And, man, for one thing, just outside of everything, he's just a really, really good kid.
Good kid, man. Good kid, good family.
But he's got that killer instinct on the track, which you're going to need. And here's another one. A lot of laps at Wantagi. Yeah.
He trains with Ross.
He's out of the beaten program. Lot of laps at Wonthaggi. Went up to Harvey Bay as well. Raced up there. He's done the AMX Open. Like, he's done a fair bit of riding in this preseason. It's a new bike, new team, but these are guys that he has worked with before.
Yeah, it's still the same scenery, basically the same.
He still looks down. It's a red fender on the front of the bike.
To him, it's just an updated bike. And he looked really good at the Sunny States. I hear he's going really fast in training. I think you're going to see him on the podium a lot this year. Could, you know, championship contender? Look,
oh, yeah.
I think so, because he's one of those kids that you look at his trajectory in MX3 last year, and this is where we've seen the likes of, at the moment, I don't want to do comparisons, but KTM, who am I thinking of here? The one MX3. A few years ago, Katie Minear, sorry. You know, Minear won MX3 and then the progress kind of tapered off in MX2 a little bit with injuries and performance. Dennis, if he can navigate the first few rounds with confidence and results, I think he's one of those guys that will just quickly have a very steep learning curve again and be a guy in MX2.
I think the difference there, though, is like on a physical standpoint, Caden versus... Byron, and age as well. Remember, Caden came into MX2 as
very
like
young.
15
yeah,
or 14.
Well, he was 14 in MX3.
Yeah.
Did 2 seasons. I think he was 16 or 17 in MX.
He came in last year. So MX3 won the title. MX2.
No, he did some races in 20... He did 22 in MX3. He did 2 seasons.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure you're wrong.
I have been wrong before.
Anyway,
Ren, help us out. Google it.
Caden Minear.
Did he do MX3 in 2022?
Type faster. You're on the clock.
You know Joe Rogan, where he's like, hey.
Look this up.
Yeah, who's that guy? What's his name?
I don't fucking know. It's Marks on Pulp MX.
Yeah, she's on Marks, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Pokey, come up here. Red Dog, come up here. Anyway.
They can't hear you.
Yeah, they can't hear you, Ren.
Oh, can you? Oh. In 2023, at 15 years old, Caden Minear steps up to MX2.
Yeah, we know that part.
2022.
We said, did he ride MX3 in
21
and 22.
He wouldn't have. He was like 11 in 2021.
No, yeah. He did. No, he rode MX.
No, he did not.
He rode MX3.
No, he didn't.
In 2021.
Give me your computer.
No, no. She's going to find out. I trust her.
What, you don't trust me?
No.
That's fair. Quicker, Rendog. Dead air. We're on radio here. Quickly. I can't read that.
Go to the Primex. I'm going to do it. It's fine. Primex website.
Thanks, Rendog. Great journalism.
Check out Inside Line.
Actually, while Joe looks this up, make sure you do check out the Inside Line podcast for all your ASBK and MotoGP needs and knowledge with Renita Vermeulen.
The one and only.
Who actually knows what she's talking about in that space, as she does in this space. Oh, unfortunately, oh, like you and I.
I love being proved right. Caden,
you.
We're going to have to bleep that out.
We're not swearing on the show?
It's a grey area. We kind of like cleaned up a little bit since you left.
I'm back. What do you want from me?
Anyway, 2021, MX3, third in the championship, Caden Minear.
2020 what?
2021, right there.
Really?
Yeah, so he did two seasons.
Like 11.
I mean, it was an abbreviated season because COVID.
Like three rounds.
Shut us down. Yeah, it was three rounds.
Hey, Ryder Kingsford got second in that season.
He did, and Blake Fox won.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to MX2.
Yeah.
Where are we up to now?
Well, we
Jay
just
Cosford.
Got...
Jace Cosford. Woohoo!
Yamaha Yamaha. Man, Cosford, again, trains with Ferris. I got a lot of time for Cosford. Good guy. Needs to make the next step this year.
Yeah, he does, and I think he's got everything to do that. Second year with that team now.
Second year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. New number. I like it. 7.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks really good.
Looks really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Jace is that guy that, you know, I always go back to this every time his name comes up. Raymond Terrace, 2018.
Yep.
Hole shot on the
wow,
outside
he's
gate.
He's been at it for a minute.
A
now.
While, dude. Yeah, he's yeah, been yeah. in this thing. But the dude is so fast.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's I think they've been doing a lot of riding out at Kyogle.
Yeah, he and Ferris have become aligned as training partners. I think he reminds Dean of a younger Dean because I don't think Dean wants to train with anybody, no. But he trains with Jace.
And he's just that, you know, that gritty, get in there, get this thing done. So I think that's it's a really cool setup for Jace this year to be back with the team and give this thing a real good crack. You know, he can be, like we said, like MX1's stacked. But MX2, I feel, is more open again because we don't know. You know, coming in around one, there's guys that we think are there and that should be there. But then there's a lot of guys in that bubble that can be your top three or they could be top 10.
Or
know?
Eighth or seventh. Who exactly. Knows? Now, so, another one of those is Jack Mather.
Coming up from
coming
MX3.
Up, you know, really probably should have been MX3 champ.
Last year,
but injuries and he was one of the guys. Now, Matha crushed it on a 450 at Harvey Bay. He probably should just go straight to MX1 because the kid was going probably as fast as anybody.
I think that suits his riding style a bit more too.
He's going to be a really good 50 rider, but right now he's got to go through MX2. I think he could surprise some people, but he's got to stay healthy. Next up, KJ, your man. He's back with the Amaloub. He's got another factory ride.
Hang on, I'm going to just make a little bit of noise here. He got a factory ride.
He did.
He got a team ride.
It was touch and go.
Caleb Barham is on a team bike. He has done a full season with a team doing testing.
Yeah.
And he loves that bike.
But he's not a sand guy. He's not, and round one's going to be not the easiest for him.
Wonthaggi, not the best place for KJ. But you just watch. If Caleb can get through this first round with a decent result.
If he can get a top five here, it's on when they go
you are
to the
in
hard pack
trouble.
Rounds.
When yep. you go up north.
He's got experience. He's fit.
He's happy.
He's happy.
He got a ride.
He got a ride.
Make good, some noise.
Good I'm for KJ, so man. Now, I think this guy is odds on for the championship. Ryder Kingsford.
Yeah.
21. Yamaloop Yamaha. I think Kingsford is... If he can eliminate the mistakes and the youthful... exuberance that at times has cost him. The speed is there, And I think Kingsford's going to make a lot of progress this year.
Yeah, obviously he's moved over from WBR to the Yamalube Yamaha. So yep. New bike.
Yeah, new bike. And although it is a sideways move for the Yamaha organization, it is he's with Mike Ward, he's with Scott Bishop.
He's back. Yeah.
He's based in Vic.
With Ross at Wonthaggi.
So, you know, between Larwood and Kingsford, you're probably looking at the two guys that are going to duke it out for the win. But I don't know how much testing he's done up in Queensland with the Yamalube team, but I'd imagine enough.
Well, he went up for Hervey Bay and he spent some time with Wardy.
And he turned a lot of heads at Hervey Bay, man. He was fast. Mm. He had some crashes, but that's kind of the Kingsford story. But, man, when he was on the bike, he was on it. And
he cleans this thing up. He's
If he can go out and win or podium at Wonthaggi, get some confidence.
Again, I think there's a few guys. If you get a KJ or a Kingsford to get out of Wonthaggi with a top five and some points, that's a solid base for the year. And then they can go from there. Obviously, Ryder's good at Wani. Spun a lot of laps there. But if he can build this foundation for a season here out of Wonthaggi, like you said, I wouldn't say he is a title contender.
100%.
He's a title contender, as is Larwood, as is Barham, as is a lot of these guys in this field. And that's what I mean.
Is Reese Budd, who we'll go to next. Man, you know, Raceline Husky Tito Racing. Budd is, he's just got married. I think they got a kid on the way. He's got a moustache, which is really impressive. He's a 20, early something 20s, very mature young man. And I think that, look, does Budd have the all-out sprint speed to beat Larwood or Kingsford at their best? Probably not. Does he have the maturity and the consistency to get it done?
Well, that's the thing with, and for him, new team, new bike for him. Obviously, going from Serco Yamaha, that's not around. It's going to be weird going to the races with no Serco truck there, by the way.
It is.
But for him to be with Toddy, like, I feel like that move was coming anyway, regardless if Serco was there or not.
Had sort of been grooming him is the wrong word, but they're close. And I think that realistically, Todd sees a future in him probably replacing him as a 450 guy.
And I think that's the thing with Reese. Reese is one of those other guys like Jack. I think that's where Todd is going to have a problem. He's going to have two guys that are going to be really good on 450s.
Probably not a problem to have, though.
Not a problem to have because they're both good on 250s, but they are better suited to the 450. I think Reese, for me, if I was to, you know, put a championship on the line, Reese is one of the guys you would go with.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to be on the overall podium come QMP, the final round.
He got third in the championship twice in 21 and 22. No. Yeah, 21, 22, he got third. I think last year was not third.
No, he wasn't third last year. But
he knows
how the wheels kind of came off at the end of last season. I don't know.
But you know he's good for a championship. I think he's going to be one of the guys to watch.
Now, I'm just going through the list here. Notable mentions before we get to more factory guys. Campbell Williams, MotoGo Yamaha.
New team.
New bike for him.
New class for him.
Good bike for him. New class for him. Campbell could go out and get 5th at Wonthaggi. Campbell could go out and get 15th at Wonthaggi. And that's not me bagging him out. It's been a very inconsistent few years away from the championship in 2021.
Yeah, when he was with like Konski in 21, 22, obviously he was with Empire last year. Now he's moved to this new MotoGo Yamaha. Now it's a new team to motocross. They've obviously done a few years in ASBK. They've got Brian Starring, Rendog. You nod your head, Brian Starring, who like they run a high quality.
Yeah, they know how to run a race program.
They run a good race program.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be a good program for him there. I think that's a really smart move for him and the team. So he's a one rider on the team. He's a pure focus of that team.
Yeah, they've got support. It's a dealership based team. They've got a lot of good brands, a lot of good support. Campbell needs a solid year, no injuries, some top fives, and to get a base as a pro rider in MX2. Now, Campbell Williams. Now next up, Boost Mobile Honda, Noah Ferguson.
That's a big one. Obviously, Noah's been,
I think, another rider in the same place as Jace Cosford. Now, Wilson Todd, Nathan Crawford, Dobson have moved on. you've got these somewhat veterans that are not veterans, but they've been in MX2 for three seasons now.
Well, you know Noah can run that pace up the front. He has done it time and time and time again.
He's won MX2 motos. He's podiumed overall. He is one of the guys that needs to step up and take control of being an experienced guy.
And he needs
class.
To do it early. I think with Noah, if he gets control of this championship early,
also
he can manage it.
Another rider based out of Wonthaggi.
Yeah. He is one of these guys that he needs to get a result. There's these guys who, you know, if you get a top five, you can manage, you know, it's a good foundation for the championship. With Noah, he needs to win at Wonthaggi.
It's probably not good enough to leave Wonthaggi with a top five for him.
No. If he's anything short of winning at Wonthaggi, I think isn't an option. He needs to win at Wonthaggi and then he can manage a championship from there. With Noah, he just needs to basically put all these guys on notice to say, hey, I'm here, I'm your guy, chase me for the rest of the year.
I agree. And look, he could do it. So
but there's
only
one other that I will mention that is at that level.
Who's that?
Brody Connolly.
Well, we can go to him.
We'll get back to, remember where we were. So we're at 29. We're going to skip to 88.
Connolly is...
he's my odds-on favourite for the championship.
A lot of people away. In the industry, because he went to America, got injured, didn't do Supercross.
Doesn't matter.
Back over here, he was one of the only guys that could beat Wilson Todd and Nathan Crawford last year straight up. Health issues, I know he had tonsillitis or whatever. Something, I forget.
Racing a couple preseason races in New Zealand.
Yeah, he
is your odds-on favourite for this championship.
Like
in
the
eyes.
Industry insiders, that's what everyone's saying.
Kid's so fast. So fast.
He is very fast. He's impressive. I think you only need to say any more than that. Connolly could be the guy this year, and it's going to be very interesting to see where it goes. Now,
he's another one. Has to win at Wonthaggi. Anything short of a win.
And he could, because guess where he's based?
Yeah.
At Wonthaggi. Take a look at a bit of a dark horse. Elliot Bros Gas Gas, Liam Andrews. Now, Liam was very fast last year.
Top finishing privateer last year.
Yeah.
Seventh in the championship. On a privateer Honda.
Yeah, not the best privateer platform motor-wise. Now, the Gas-Gas is a bit of a step up there for him.
And that's a step up for that team too, another dealer-based team. But I think they're getting a bit more support out of Gas-Gas than what they were getting out of Honda.
It's not to say the Honda's a bad buy, but the reality is...
And it's not to say they weren't getting support out of Honda, but I think this level of support now has jumped. That team has jumped. They got a new truck. Seen the new truck
today? I haven't seen it yet, no.
Cool. They got a new truck.
Okay.
You know, and that team has taken a big step into where they are now.
You've got Mac O'Bree and Jai Constantino as teammates. You know, Jai, another one, could be a bit of a dark horse for the top
another
five.
Another one based
out of Wonthaggi. Now, Bailey Malkowitz, back in MX2, number 47 on a Yamaha. He's getting some help from Gav at Serco.
We're helping him too.
You are helping him too? I can see that. Alps, Serco, 7. But Malco, man.
On a 250.
He's a big boy. And
he could cause some damage out there, honestly.
He was at Harvey Bay, was on a stock car, and it was really hard to see what he was doing to that poor bike, how big he is. I don't know. I like Bailey. He's a really good guy.
You got to think. I'm going to say this, right? He's the only world champion in that class.
He is. And I still remember as a junior when I was a coach and had my race team, kid was on another level. Can he get back to that? He's had a lot of years of injuries. He was racing EMX 250s.
He raced 450s. He did MX2 in the GPs with the 114 Honda team. He did some years at what, Serco, then WBR. It's a big year. I think... as much as it's a big year for Bailey, it's a, you know, stepping back to the 250s, I think is a very, really good move. And he's a guy who can definitely win races and can definitely be a title threat. With Bailey, that as always, it's going to be consistency and getting through.
Yeah, look, not blowing a bike up, not having privacy issues that are going to, you know, stop his momentum. Now,
I think he's getting helped out of WBR as well.
Yeah, I think it's like a collaborative effort, man. Brock Flynn. Flink and Ride. He's out of WA. He's on that Rising Motorsports team.
They're Huskies this year,
Yeah. Huskies. Kader Menear. Now, Menear, we probably need to give him a bit of time here, talking-wise. I think that Menear, man, that injury in Supercross was brutal. But he's back. He won a moto at Hervey Bay.
I don't know if he's... He might be back.
But is he back, back?
I don't think he's
Do you think
yet.
He grows into it this year?
I think he pushes in through the season. Is he going to come out and win a Wontagi? I don't think so. Is he going to win throughout the year? I think so. I think he does.
Yeah.
Another
guy that's very important to stay healthy and log some race time.
Not only for this championship, but for the trajectory of his career. There
is a big year for him there.
I don't know where this year goes. Does he race a full championship or halfway through? Does he split and go to America?
I think he's going to have to race full championship, but he's contracted to do so. But I think he's gone from being the next big thing to just a guy. Now, I talked to Ross about this. He's his trainer. Oh, sorry, he was his trainer.
He's
now he's training with the 00 Elite crew in
Big Croft.
With Big Croft in Gold Coast. And, you know, Caleb was a very elite junior. He was quite well developed physically. But like you mentioned, it kind of stalled out as he went into MX2. He didn't really grow anymore. And I think he's been just catching up. You know, he had plates in his humerus after that Supercross crash.
That was so gnarly too. I think people don't realize how
His humerus and arm was facing the wrong way.
People don't also realize that he went the lap before that, jumped the triple to the car park.
He quadded the triple into the bum. But he was very excited that day, man. But that's the thing. He's young still. He's still so young. I think he's only like 18 now. So he's a youngster. So big year either way for Caden Manier. Now, we're going to wrap this up soon, guys. AMX Superstores Primex preview show. We're going to finish off MX2 Reid Taylor. Now, this is Indian Supercross League champion is your Empire Kawasaki MX2 rider. Reid Taylor, look, man, speed's never been an issue with Reid. We saw that today. Kid is
we
so fast.
We see this every time he gets on the track.
But speed. He just won Indian Supercross. I think that's going to do wonders for his confidence and consistency.
I think being the guy on a team too, obviously, you know, got a bit of help through Supercross with Toddy, but he wasn't a team guy. Here's the focal point. He is the Kawasaki 250 effort. That is it.
Well, you see today, right? He's in the rental car with Cloudy. He's around Brad McAlpine. The environment, he's with Tyson Cherry. The environment he's now in, he's not on the outside looking in with a guest ride or doing his thing at home. He is training with the best guys. He's got the best technicians. He's testing with Japan, Showa. So for the Reid, I wouldn't say it's a sink or swim year, but if we're going to see him realize the potential that we know he has, I think it starts now.
I think the biggest thing, Cloudy's got a lot of confidence behind Reid.
You can tell they're close too, watching them today. They're like friends.
Yeah, and I think Cloudy's really taking that mentor role with him. Biggest thing with Reid, kid's so, so, so fast. Consistency hasn't been there. But I think now that there's structure around him,
it's going to make a big difference.
It's going to make a huge difference. He is one that let me put it this way. I got five guys. That's broad saying five guys. But that's how weird the 250 championship is because we don't know. I got five guys.
Yeah.
Brody Connolly.
Yep.
Reese Budd.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Ferguson. Reid Taylor. Caleb Barham. That is it. That is my five.
What about Larwood?
Six.
Okay. Let's move on. We're going to be here all night.
But Reid Taylor, he is just...
We're going to give MX3 a couple minutes and we'll talk about MXW briefly. Then we're going to wrap this up because in a few days we're going to be doing the review pod. So, AMX Superstores Primex preview show. Thanks to AMX Superstores. MX3. We're going to keep it quick, but Jake Cannon has been off all off-season with injury. Obviously had his really life-threatening injury from Supercross at Newcastle and then consequently had his he's had a wrist injury. I'm pretty sure it's common knowledge at this point. But back on the bike. And for Cannon, can he not ride all off-season and go win in Wontagi? Yeah, he can.
Yeah, the kid's...
New HRC Honda
new
signing.
New team.
Joined, you know, the team with his sister. So Charlie Cannon, Jay Cannon... Man,
he's good.
I'll go ahead and say it. I think he is the guy for the championship this year.
I think he's the odds on favourite for the championship. Bike number four, Kobe Drew, WBR. That's the thing. So WBR is now a four rider squad, MX3 only, back to where WBR.
Back to the original days.
Back to where WBR were. So that's the thing. So no Circo, no WBR and MX2 this year. One Yamaha team left. Right. WBR, four guys, Kobe Drew, Seth Burchell, Kobe Hantus, and Kingsford. Cade Kingsford. That's a strong team.
Yeah, and Cade Kingsford rips, man. Very fast. He's going to turn some heads this year as well.
He is one that's going to stand out. Kobe Drew, I think, is...
There's a lot of talent, man. Like
that's a lot of talent in that class.
And Travis Lindsay, I'm just looking at the entry list right now. Lindsay rides really good on the privateer Husky. Kai Woods, that kid, I think he's going to figure it out. He seems to be growing and getting stronger. I think this is you see Woods take a big step forward. Let's go through the list here. Jed Alsop's back from injury.
Yeah, so...
And this is a kid that's won motos, has a lot of potential. Unfortunately, had his ACL last year.
Yeah, ACL, and then he had, you know, bikes blow up and...
Just a lot of things hinder his progress.
When he could finish, it was a good finish. It was just getting him to finish. Obviously, I spent a fair bit of time with Jet last year. I spoke to him a lot this preseason. I have so much time for that kid for, you know, bikes blowing up last year and the knee and everything just seemed to not go his way. But his mindset stayed the same. He knows he is. I put him up there with Jake Cannon as a championship guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to win. He's going to win races.
He's going to win races. And I know that the program this year is a lot stronger than what it was last year. He spent a lot of, like, trains with Ford Dale. Very solid program. I think he is one that we could see coming out at one tag and win.
Yeah, I think it will probably be a slow build for him after so much time off, but we'll see. I can't see Deacon Pace on the entry list here. I know he is there, but Deacon Pace out of WA, coming off his best ever finish at Coolum in MX3, got on the podium in the final moto. Now he is the Moto One Motorcycles KTM rider. He's kind of
621. Is that him?
621. That's right. That's why I can't see him down at the very bottom.
So I just want to make a point on this.
Yeah.
Josh Robinson.
Yes.
JR Race Services.
Yeah. Yeah.
The venting on the airbox of
Pace's
bike,
yeah,
that is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Josh, man, he's doing some cool stuff with his performance shop and the Moto One team, Moto One Motorcycles KTM, and Shane Fretwell, the owner, they're going all in. You know, Shane is investing a lot of money into that program to grow the racing platform. He's actually running two teams. There's
Moto Honda One and Motorcycles
KTM. Then there's Moto One Motorcycles Honda, which is the New Zealand trio of Curtis King, Ryan King, and Van Dushten, who's riding
MX3. But the two King boys, MX2?
Two King boys, MX2. So that's that whole program. Like Moto One is making a big push in pro racing.
Two trucks?
One truck. One truck for KTM, and I don't quite know the Honda setup. But with that being said, Deacon, man, fast. Led the first MX2 moto at Harvey Bay for like 10 minutes. Did not look out of place. The heat got him. He wasn't quite there as far as the endurance and the humidity.
I don't think the humidity is going to be a problem at Wonthaggi.
It's definitely not. The cold, dry air, maybe. But
maybe in the morning, but it ain't going to be dry and cold. It ain't going to be cold all day.
No, it's like 30, right?
Yeah, so...
30 at Wonthaggi feels like 50 anywhere else. So, we're going to go through the rest of the list here. Deacon Rose, Kobe Hannes. Hannes is also pretty fast, coming up out of juniors. Caden Strode, local Victorian kid, he will go well. We've got, who have we missed? Is there anybody else? Hayden Downey is a kid out of Queensland. Downey's been training with the 00 Elite crew. He's actually really making some good progress, Downey. Interesting to see what he can do. Yeah, Van Dushten. Angus Pierce out of Tasmania. Deacon Pace, we just spoke about him. I think that's pretty much it for MX2 with the heavy hitters. But
you just said
Did you say 0-0 elite then?
Yes.
I really want to... I'm going to do this year, right? I'm going to work out every rider that's on... Let's call the three main programs.
The elite programs. There's three of them.
So there's the 0-0 elite, the Beaton's Pro Formula...
And Fort Dale.
And Fort Dale. Let's get all those riders, right? I want a list of every rider.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a championship at the end of the year to see which program...
That, like a manufacturer's championship and a coach's like a, championship.
Exactly, out of those three programs.
Oh, you know what we've got to talk about real quick? Seth Shackleton.
Oh, yeah. Super far.
Shacks.
Yeah. BCP, not in my trainer's championship.
Okay.
But cool. High five, Hogs.
No, but Shacks, so fast. Shacks is fast, man.
Kid's really fast.
And the bike's fast. They got a good setup. Shacks may surprise some people this year. I know he's going really fast over there in WA. Hmm. And again... Probably a kid now that needs to make that next step.
Yeah, I mean,
we know he can do it.
I think, does this now open up, how old's Jake Cannon? Do we know? 17?
I believe so.
Okay. With Konski running a MX3 guy again, was that just because of Charlie?
I believe so. I think it was a twofer. Like, take Charlie, you take Jake.
Yeah, cool. Does that mean that there's an MX3 seat going to be open at Honda from now on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, Yariv... somehow funds a very big program. Never say never.
As someone that has a foot in that program, literally.
You have the boots. Yeah.
We do the boots in that deal. And it seems like every year Konski goes, so yeah, programs are growing this year. So I just wonder if Shaq's can have a big breakout year this year, does he then move to...
I mean, I think Konski it's safe to say he would have a shot at moving to Factory Honda if he does well in MX3, but we'll see. Right. Let's talk about Amex Dub real quick, and then we'll wrap this up on the Amex Superstores Primex preview show. We're an hour and what here? 13 minutes. Wowzers, that went quick. Okay. Look, man, Charlie Cannon, I don't think anyone's touching her. That's just the reality of it. Cannon is on another level. She's now moved over to Honda. She looks great on the bike. She looked great at the Sunny States.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more we can say about her.
It hasn't already been said. Now,
the big one for me is... McCutcheon, shout out to TM.
Yeah.
Taylor McCutcheon, that was a massive crash, massive injury.
And it was so good to see her today on Instagram. She's come out of one of many surgeries and she looks really well. She's got some scars. She's had a lot of surgery, but man, considering how bad her injuries were, it's just great to see her.
Happy, smile, happy and everything. And so TM, shout out to you. You know, hope the recovery keeps going well. That was a gnarly crash.
Yeah, if you know Park 4MX, and from what I heard happened, that is a nightmare crash.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that nightmares are made of. So, shout out to Taylor McCutcheon.
She was a real contender that could take it.
And from what I hear, she was going really fast, man. So, I think she may have been able to challenge her this season.
Yeah, was it, you know, is it... She could challenge her for wins. I think the gap from... Charlie to Taylor, there's a gap there. The gap from Charlie to everyone else after that
is massive. Big. I think the difference is Taylor to challenge Charlie is Taylor at 110% when Charlie's at 90%. Whereas that's where the crashes come from. I think Taylor just tries really hard and she's not afraid to hang it out. But unfortunately, we don't get to see that now.
Maybe you got an entry list there?
Yeah, I do. So, Charlie Cannon, Emma Milosevic, she'll be back. Milosevic was strong last year.
Veteran.
Amy Barsh out of SA. Taylor Thompson. Now, Thompson's one of the few girls that can also take it to Cannon. She's riding for that. She's riding for Husky.
Yep.
And Thompson's fast, man. She's a chick that does not match her riding style. She looks so gnarly on a bike. She hangs it out. She manhandles it. She takes her helmet off and she's like this petite little thing that's really soft-spoken. And it's just not that, say, Charlie isn't, but Charlie's really smooth and efficient and Taylor just goes
erratic.
For it. I would say she's erratic, but she swings for the fences. Abby Morris, Maddie Healy out of Vic.
She's on that Elliott Brothers Gas Gas too, so new bike for her.
She's out of that part of the world. Looking at any other notable mentions here. Talia O'Hare out of WA, she's back. Talia, she's fast, so she'll be a top five threat there. But look, that's going to wrap it up, guys. That is your AMXW, and that, Darnell, is your AMX Superstores Pro AMX preview show 2024 on the Inside Dirt Network. Thanks And much love to the guys at AMX Superstores for supporting the show. Make sure you check out amxsuperstores.com.au and get into your local dealership where Darnell used to work for many years.
I did. It's crazy the thing. Every time we do this show and every time I hear you do that read, it seems like there's more and more shops. Obviously, I still...
I think when you started the show with us, it was like 10 or 13 stores, right?
Well, when I started the show with us, it was like 6. But when I actually started the AMX, the third store had just opened. And then when the change of ownership and stuff happened and then the growth really started accelerating, I remember opening like, I reckon
yeah,
I went.
You were kind of their go-to guy to go.
I like got that. Sent around a lot. Yeah. maybe people didn't want to work with me. I don't know.
I get that.
Yeah. So I reckon I went to maybe 10 grand openings for new stores and to see that business. Like I was in there at the early days with like 3 stores, family owned, to see what that's become now. It is just everywhere. Like everywhere. There's new shops opening all the time.
30 plus stores now. It's
What did you say? So it was 3 stores in Vic.
Well, we did a count before and then we...
So there's 9 stores in Vic. There's a 10th store.
There
coming.
Was 6 stores in WA.
Yeah, it's huge, man.
And, you know, so shout out to those guys. They're growing the footprint. They are the nation's leading motorcycle retail specialist. And we thank them for their support. And we thank them for all the effort and rehabilitation they put into Darnell over the years. And shout out to Rob. Shout out to Lisa and AMX crew. It's going to be a good year with them, with the Inside Dirt network coverage of Pro AMX. And with that being said, Darnell, let's go racing at Wani. And we'll check in with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks
for the review.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show.
Yeah, it's like old times. I appreciate that.
Bro, I haven't done a full show in so long.
You haven't since, I don't even know when.
Yeah, it's hard work.
Yeah, you're waning. You're tired right now.
Yeah, it's very hard to make me shut up, but I'm ready.
You're there.
So, Juan Thaggy, let's get this thing going. Thanks, Joe, for the show. Rendog, wherever you...
I think she's going to bed.
Rendog? Yep. Rendog says goodbye, everyone. No, thanks. Let's get this thing on. Let's get some gates dropping.
Yeah.
Let's go race.
We will check in with you guys after one. Thank you. Thanks for listening.